Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I am reading the San Angelo Standard Times newspaper for the week of Sunday, November 14th, 2021. I'm reading on Thursday, November 18th. I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for November 2021 by Elaine Edgen, published November 17th. Tom Green County, as of November 17th, City of San Angelo, 25,170 positive cases reported, 17 new positive cases, deaths 467, 300 from Tom Green County and 167 from other counties, 18 currently hospitalized, 176 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Diane Panatalio. Tom Green County has administered more than 116,663 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of November 16th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 1.44% from the previous week's tally of 115,002 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 44% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of November 16th. Vehicle rams Tesla into downtown San Angelo library during assault. Sheep statue destroyed. By Elena Edgen and John Tufts, published November 18th. Shards of glass and displaced books lay scattered across the floor of the Central Library in downtown San Angelo after a Tesla model vehicle crashed through a window late Wednesday night above the Children's Department. Tom Green County officials said they were still in the process of assessing damage to the Stevens Central Library, 33 West Beauregard, early Thursday, November 18th, but said the library's fiberglass sheep statue, affectionately known as Paige Turner, was destroyed. Both the library's children's department and Beauregard entrance will be closed to the public until further notice. About 10:45 p.m. Wednesday, a white Tesla could be seen halfway through a glass pane of the library. The crash sent shards of glass raining down onto bookshelves, on top of stuffed animals, and covered toys set out for toddlers. Jill Donegan, director of the Tom Green County Library System, said it was surreal walking into the downtown location late Wednesday night. I saw a beautiful, brand new Tesla with its backside into this opening just perfectly, as if it had been backed in with precision, she said. San Angelo police say assault caused crash. A spokesperson for the San Angelo Police Department said the Tesla was sent flying through the library during an assault. Officers arrived near the library at 30 West Beauregard Wednesday night in reference to an assault. During their investigation, they learned a man had used his vehicle to strike the Tesla into the library. The victim's vehicle then struck a portion of the Stevens Central Library, causing damage to it, according to a police statement. Investigators said Andrew Moreno, age 40, crashed his vehicle into a tree metal pole and then fled the scene on foot. Police later found Moreno and said he was transported to Shannon Medical Center for non-incapacitating injuries. Charges for Moreno are pending at this time. Library staff on Thursday morning said they were grateful no one was in the basement level of the children's department at the time of the crash, but lamented the loss of their fiberglass sheep. Seeing the sheep laying there in the state it was, nearly beheaded, she was destroyed, Donegan said about Paige Turner, their fiberglass sheep who normally stands outside. Sally Myers, who serves as children's librarian, said she was startled by the damage after arriving to work Thursday. Broken bits of glass covered the floor a dozen feet from her desk. I was shocked, Meyer said. I looked down and said, what is that big piece of glass? It was the sheep in pieces. It's a shame. The sheep was a display of great children's literature, of Curious George, all the characters children love. The fiberglass sheep statues can run as high as $1,700, according to Del Velasquez, director of Downtown San Angelo Incorporated, who said he was grateful no one inside the library was injured. Myers said officials were already in the process of replacing the sheep, but said the cleanup process could take a while. Glass shards are in the rugs. It's in the books. I'm not sure how long it will take to clean everything, Meyer said. Due to the damages to the glass, wall, ceiling, frames, and railing, the library closed the children's department and the Beauregard entrance until further notice. Staff said they would need to inspect every book in the children's area for glass fragments. Our main concern is that the area is safe and clear of all glass before we allow anyone down there, Donegan said. Those little shards can get into spots and spaces that you don't even know about, so we just want to have a thorough assessment of the space and cleanup. San Angelo man, age 81, will serve jail time in child sex case. By Elena Edgen, published November 17th. An 81-year-old San Angelo man could spend the rest of his life behind bars after pleading guilty in a child sexual abuse case, which began when the child was 4 years old. On Tuesday, November 16th, Carl Joseph Schwaghofer attended a plea hearing at the Tom Green County Courthouse. He was charged in 2017 with continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14 and aggravated sex assault of a child younger than 6 years old from 2008 to 2010. Schwaghofer pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of indecency with a child by sexual contact with no recommended sentence, leaving his fate to the court. This charge is punishable by up to 20 years in jail. After a two-day-long punishment hearing, which included testimony from the child victims and Schwaghofer, the court sentenced him to 15 years in jail. We applaud both of the ladies who had the strength and courage to take the stand and confront their perpetrator, said a spokesperson with the 51st District Attorney's Office. We hope that this verdict will help each of them in the healing process and that they can move forward from the abuse that they endured. Schwaghofer will be required to register as a sex offender and is credited 2 days off his sentence. The aggravated charge has been dismissed as part of the plea. What court documents said about the 2017 report. On May 23, 2017, police arrived at Shannon Medical Center to a report of a child sexual abuse. The person said the assault happened on June 15, 2010, while the child was with Schwaghofer at a residence. He entered the child's room and sexually assaulted them, according to a prior article. An indictment filed in 2018 charged him with continuous sex abuse of a child younger than 14 and aggravated sex assault of a child younger than 6 years old. It's back. San Angelo's Concho Christmas Parade Tour returns. Here's What You Should Know by Elena Edgen, published November 16th. After canceling last year due to COVID-19, the Concho Christmas Celebration's Parade of Lights is ready to light up 2021. The parade will feature Santa and his biker reindeer with the Marine Corps, along with various floats and businesses from 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday, December 4th. People can also get into the Christmas spirit early with the soft opening of the Tour of Lights on December 3rd from 6 p.m. to midnight. The tour covers 2.5 miles along the Concho River with over 3 million lights. It also includes animated scenes such as the 12 Days of Christmas, a gingerbread house, an elaborate nativity scene, and Santa Claus. There's a poinsettia light display along the river near the Convention and Visitors Bureau building, 418 West Avenue B. People can enjoy Christmas cartoons at the end of the tour by parking at the Oaks Street screen and tuning in to 103.9 FM. The light tours will be open through December 31st. Hours are 6 to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 6 p.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday. For December 20th through the 25th, the hours will be 6 to 10 p.m. We are very excited that we'll be able to do all the events this year, said Lucy Hofhines with the celebration. We couldn't do some of them last year due to COVID, so we're excited to bring it all back. Tree lighting, concerts, and more. Other events in the celebration include the community tree lighting starts at 5 p.m. December 4th in downtown San Angelo, with the parade following at 6 p.m. Bike through the lights at 4:30 p.m. December 5th at the lower YMCA parking lot. Cyclists will need a front light, rear reflector or light, and a helmet. Cost is free. For more information, call 325-260-3353. Kayak through the lights is scheduled for 6 p.m. December 11th at 304 West Avenue A behind the Girl Scouts building. Tuba Christmas starts at noon December 18th at the San Angelo Museum of Fine Arts, One Love Street. The concert will have tuba and euphonium players from across the Concho Valley performing traditional Christmas and holiday songs. There is limited seating due to social distancing, and face masks are required. Cost is free. For more information, call Eric Hansen at 325-374-4760. Concerts at the Farmers Market Pavilion kick off December 5th. The schedule includes Southland Baptist Church Jazz Band from 6 to 7:15 p.m. December 5th. San Angelo Community Band, December 6th. San Angelo Central Jazz Band, December 8th. San Angelo Community Band, December 11th. Word of Praise Team, December 12th and December 19th. Southland Baptist Church Jazz Band, from 6 to 7:15 p.m. December 20th. Attending these events are free, though donations are appreciated. Donations can be given at the events or online at ConchoChristmasCelebration.com. Nonprofit gifts vision devices to San Angelo area children at clinic, by Elena Edgen, published November 17th. The boy sat between two adults watching a screen as the man asked him to read the magnified paper, which he did with ease for possibly the first time in a while. "Can this show rocks?" he asked, and the man placed a rock from Hawaii under the lens. A woman beside him appeared happy as they learned how to use the Onyx electronic video magnifier, which would help the boy see things clearly. This child, along with several other San Angelo area children with low vision, received free Onyx electronic video magnifiers on Monday and Tuesday. This device costs over $2,000 and dramatically enhances contrast and magnifies objects up to 118 times, according to a news release. "It's very rewarding to know that child will be able to go home, do his homework, see his parents, and use it for everyday tasks," said Matt Daw, Associate Director of Sight Savers America's Low Vision Program. Sight Savers America is a nonprofit based in Alabama that provides eye care for children, including devices, for free to qualifying families. On Monday and Tuesday, the nonprofit teamed with the Region 15 Education Center to offer free low vision evaluations and magnifiers to children. "Children and parents were really excited because it gives them an opportunity to see things that we take for granted," Daw said as he prepared to help another child learn the device. For people wanting to refer a child to the program, they can contact the organization by calling 877 942-2627, extension 238, or email info@sightsaversamerica.org. Schools, parents, doctors, relatives, friends, and other children's advocates can refer them. Lane Carter steps down from San Angelo City Council, will run for Tom Green County Judge. By John Tufts, published November 16th. Lane Carter, who has represented single-member District 5 on the San Angelo City Council for more than half a decade, announced Tuesday he would step down from office. His term wasn't set to expire until 2023. Carter was embraced by friends and colleagues who wished him well during his last city council meeting Tuesday, November 16th. In between handshakes and hugs, Carter recalled his time in office as a positive experience working along city staff and in representing the citizens of San Angelo. "I won't forget the camaraderie," Carter said during an interview with the Standard Times. "I'm going to remember all the accomplishments that we've been able to do in the last 5.5 years. A political newcomer in 2016, Carter ran against incumbent Elizabeth Grindstaff and two other candidates during a tight race in the May general election. He managed to squeak ahead of Grindstaff by just 4 votes, collecting 827 votes to Grindstaff's 823, forcing a runoff. In the July runoff election, Carter was elected to office after besting Grindstaff with 1,169 votes compared to her 1,028 votes. His tenure in office has been marked by notable events, both large and small, which include the city's purchase and selling of the Ford Ranch to protect San Angelo's water rights, infrastructure improvements to local streets and roads, and, in Carter's own district, a special use permit allowing a children's gymnastic group to operate in Santa Rita. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter praised Carter for his time in office and wished him well in his next endeavors. "I'm excited for him," Gunter said. "You hate to lose someone you've been working with for 5 years, but on the other hand, you want somebody to pursue their dreams, and I think that's what Lane is getting ready to do." While Carter is stepping down from his role on the San Angelo City Council, his political ambitions are far from over. Carter has decided to run for Tom Green County Judge during next year's election. On a social media post following Tuesday's city council meeting, Carter said leaving was bittersweet, but encouraged residents to join him on the steps of the Tom Green County Courthouse at 4 p.m. Thursday, November 18th, when he makes his formal announcement to run for election. "It's been an honor representing my constituents," Carter said, choking back some emotion as he thanked city council and staff. "Everybody that I've come in contact with for 5.5 years, it's been a pleasure." Gunter said while city council could choose to unanimously appoint someone to represent single-member District 5, which includes areas of Santa Rita and College Hills, she wasn't in favor of doing so. "I think the citizens should have the right to vote and elect their own representation," Gunter said. "That's what we do. We elect people, and that's the route I would choose to take. If no person is named to represent citizens living in District 5, Carter's seat will remain vacant until the next election in May 2022. Christmas in San Angelo. Here's all the events, markets, Santa meetups in the area. By Elena Edgen, published November 16th. The holidays are here, and San Angelo is ready to bring the spirit to all the markets with Santa and more. Here's a look at all the holiday events in the area for November and December. Ongoing. A Christmas Story, the musical. When, 7:30 p.m., November 19th, 2 p.m., and 7:30 p.m., November 20th, and 2 p.m., November 21st. Where? Elta Joyce Murphy Performance Hall, 72 West College Avenue. Other. This play is set in the 1940s fictional town of Homan, Indiana. The musical follows 9-year-old Ralphie Parker and his quest for the Holy Grail of Christmas gifts, an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. This is performed by the San Angelo Broadway Academy. For more information, go to sanangelopac.org or call 325-284-3825. Christmas at Old Fort Concho. When? 3 to 8 p.m. December 3rd, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. December 4th, and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 5th. Where? Fort Concho, 630 South Oaks. Cost. Daily admission is $7 for adults, $5 for seniors and military, and $3 for children ages 7 to 17. Younger get in free. Weekend passes are $14 for adults, $10 for seniors and military, and $6 for children. There will be vendors, history, activities, and more. For more information, call 325-481-1646 or go online to fortconcho.com. Fandale Avenue Christmas Carol. When? 7:30 p.m. on November 19th and November 20th. 2 p.m. November 21st. Where? Angelo Civic Theater, 1936 Sherwood Way. They enthusiastically portray a dizzy array of characters from the Dickinson favorite and a few which aren't. Engineer some novel audience participation while bravely contending with an intrusive PA system and a real Farndale first rap their vocal cords and feet around two original show-stopping songs. Tickets can be purchased online at angelocivictheater.com. Tour of Lights. When? December 4th through December 31st. Hours are 6 to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 6 p.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday. There will be a soft opening on December 3rd from 6 p.m. to midnight. Where? Cars enter at South Bryant Boulevard and First Street and follow the 2.5-mile path of lights along the Concho River. Cost, $5 donation per car is recommended. With over 3 million lights, there are animated scenes including the 12 Days of Christmas, a gingerbread house, an elaborate nativity scene, and Santa Claus. People can enjoy Christmas cartoons at the end of the tour by parking at the Oak Street screen and tuning into 103.9 FM. More holiday events. November 20th. Christmas in San Angelo Trade Days will begin at 10 a.m. at Foster Communications Coliseum, 50 East 43rd Street. This is an event with vendors and shopping. Cost free to attend. Cactus Market Day's pre-Christmas shopping festivities is set for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 13 East Tuig. There will be local art, vendors, and a DJ. Christmas at the Old Sherwood Courthouse in Mertzon is set for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the courtyard. Vendors can set up at 7 a.m. If the weather is bad, booths will be inside. Booths are $20. For more information, call 325-656-9860. Santa's Grand Arrival starts at 11 a.m. at the Sunset Mall. November 21st, Christmas in San Angelo Trade Days will begin at 10 a.m. at Foster Communications Coliseum. November 27th, 2021 Marine Corps Toys for Tots is set 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Best Buy, 4325 Sunset Drive. Santa's Santa Fe Christmas is set for 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Railway Museum of San Angelo, 703 South Chadburn Street. Santa will be present for free photos, and there will be vendors and food trucks. November 28th, Community Menorah Lighting at Congregation Beth Israel, 1825 West Beauregard Avenue. This will be a menorah lighting with hot cocoa and cookies after. November 30th, ASU Annual Christmas Tree Lighting begins at 5 p.m. in front of the Mayer Museum, 2501 West Avenue Inn. There will be a synthetic skating rink, ornament and cookie decorating stations, a special holiday pops concert by the ASU Symphony Orchestra and Chorale, and free refreshments. Million Dollar Quartet Christmas begins at 7 p.m. at Elta Joyce Murphy Performance Hall. This show is described as Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley come together again to celebrate the most wonderful time of year. Tickets can be purchased online at sanangelopac.org. December 2nd, Hospice of San Angelo Light Up a Life begins at 6 p.m. at the Cactus Hotel, 36 East Tuig Avenue. This is hosted by West Texas Rehab Center and involves decorating a tree with memories of people who we have loved and lost. Christmas Paint Party is set for 6 to 8 p.m. at Old Central Firehouse Pizzeria and Tap Room, 200 South Magdalen Street. Registration required at crackedginger.com. Cost $40. December 3rd, Bad Improv, Jingle Your Bells Off, begins at 8 p.m. at B Theater, 82 Gillis Street. This is a holiday-themed improv show for ages 16 years old and older. Everyone who brings non-perishable food for the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank will be entered to win two tickets for every 2022 improv performance. Cost $15. Information online at bthetter.com. Ugly Sweater Emo Night begins at 9 p.m. at the Dead Horse, 210 South Chadburn Street. Cost is free. December 4th, Claybird Association Club Shoot benefiting Marine Corps Toys for Tots. Set for 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at San Angelo Claybird Association, 13525 Duncan Road. Cost $175. Or bring a toy worth $25 to pay a lower fee of $150. Shooting starts at 10 a.m. with lunch at 12:30 p.m. and a live auction at 1 p.m. GSA Crafts Holiday Market is set for 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at First Financial Pavilion, 4400 Great Creek Road. Members of the Greater San Angelo Crafts Guild will sell their works. There will also be a raffle. Cost, free to attend. For information, email gsacraftsguild@gmail.com. Merry Pitmas is set for 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pit Barbecue, 2330 Sherwood Way. This is a fundraiser adoption event for Cassie's Place. Santa's Market at Old Central Firehouse, 200 South Magdalen Street, set for 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Concho Christmas Celebration of Lights Parade is set for 6 to 9 p.m. in downtown San Angelo. A Yuletide Celebration will begin at 7 p.m. at the Elta Joyce Murphy Performance Hall, 72 West College Avenue. This concert will feature soloists Justin Deloach and Megan Honeycutt, along with holiday favorites. Contact phone 325-658-5877 or go online to sanangelosymphony.org. Bad Improv, Jingle Your Bells Off, 8 p.m. at B Theater, 82 Gillis Avenue. Cost is $15. December 5th, Sugar Plum Tea Party, sponsored by Shannon Health, is set for 2 to 4 p.m. at Ballet San Angelo, 82 Gillis Street. This is a ballet fundraiser featuring the Sugar Plum Fairy. For information, go online to sanangelopac.org or call 325-284-3825. Bike Through the Lights starts at 4:30 p.m. December 5th at the lower YMCA parking lot. Cyclists will need a front light, rear reflector or light, and a helmet. Cost is free. For more, call 325-260-3353. Southland Baptist Church Jazz Band will perform 6 to 7:15 p.m. at the Farmers Market Pavilion. San Angelo native and top 10 of Texas Country Music Chart. Here's a Q&A with Case Harden by Elena Edgen, published November 15th. Case Harden doesn't know where his love of music comes from, but when a classmate asked him to join a band in 2013, he said yes. Now, the San Angelo native's latest single has earned the top spot on the Texas Regional Radio Report and 7th on the Texas Country Music Chart in November. "It's amazing how far we've come in 8 years," Harden said. "I was ecstatic when we found out." While hitting the road and performing his single, Alcohol Abuse, Harden mentioned that looking into the crowd and seeing people sing with him was a cool experience. "Every time we play Alcohol Abuse, people would just recognize it and sing back," he said. "I knew the potential was there. That's the first single off our upcoming record, so it's only up from here." The song that earned Harden a top spot is one of 4 singles on his upcoming album, Lucky Him, which will be tentatively released at the end of January 2022. The album will feature more West Texas-centric songs, including Back to Brady. "It's like an artist throwing stuff on canvas, and this canvas is looking pretty good," he said. Harden took some time from his schedule to talk about how he went from a San Angelo ranch to a rising star in the country music charts, along with advice and behind-the-scenes information. "What was it like growing up in a San Angelo ranch family, then turning to music?" "I was born and raised in San Angelo, and my family's ranch is around here. My dad competed in the San Angelo rodeo. I was just a Central High School kid, and I had a friend in physics class say, 'Hey, we need a bass player. Can you play?' I said I could start, and that's where we started. Our first shot was a benefit at the house of Fifi Dubois in 2013, at this little stage in the back corner. I'd been trying really, really hard to be an act, and there was a bar owner in there. I heard he went around and asked people if this was something they would listen to. I guess he heard enough yeses because we finally got into the old coach club. We played for 4 hours and only knew 20 songs, and we were awful. I don't know why people stuck around, but I'm glad they did. It's amazing how far we've come." What went into creating the song Alcohol Abuse? "We got the song from a buddy of mine named Bernie Nelson, who has a friend in Nashville, Billy Yates. We were able to talk with him, and he said, 'Take the song. I've already written it, and I'm not going to do anything with it. I love the song, and I wanted to see if I could sing all those alcohols. There are 22 different types and brands of alcohol Harden sings, one after the other, near the end of the song. In the studio, I couldn't, and my producer told me to take a lap around the studio to open my lungs. I did, and we did it in one take. It was awesome and a lot of fun." What are some of your favorite venues you've performed at? "I've performed some festivals that were fun, but there's one place that I had on my bucket list from the first day I started playing, my hometown Coliseum. We finally got the chance to play there when we performed with Aaron Watson and Pat Green. It was a blast. Lately, we've gotten to play Fredericksburg, Midland, Odessa, Fort Worth, and everywhere in between. It's just a blast from Corpus Christi all the way up to Amarillo. It's so much fun to be able to be a part of people's lives. The best location would be Billy Bob's up in Fort Worth. It's one of the biggest and best. I've been a fan, been there as a fan and played there. Which musicians inspire you? I'm a 90s baby, and I've always loved going to rodeos. There you'd hear Tracy Lawrence, George Strait, Tracy Byrd, and Garth Brooks. Also Brooks and Dunn, and all those guys from the 90s. Recently, there are some new guys coming out like John Pardee and Cody Johnson. And those guys are doing it right and playing real country. It's just been fun to be able to play alongside those guys. Who is on your bucket list to perform with? I'd love to play with one of those 90s country heroes. With the nostalgia in me, I'd have to say Garth Brooks or George Strait. Garth Brooks' shows just have so much energy in them, and that's something I really love. I'd also like to play with Cody Johnson again. He puts on a great high-energy show. Is there anything else you'd like people to know? To people outside of San Angelo, we'll definitely be out in your direction in 2022. We'll definitely be seeing you and look forward to seeing you at our show real soon. What can people expect for the future? We just signed with one of Garth Brooks' management teams, and we're going to promote the heck out of this next record, Lucky Him, which comes out in January. We're really looking really busy for 2022, and we're just super excited to get out there and play. It's going to be awesome, and we're ready. We're hungry, and it's going to be something that I think everybody should look forward to. What advice would you give to someone wanting to get into the music business? Advertise, advertise, advertise. We advertise for every show. And at the beginning, I can't tell you how many people would say, "Oh, I didn't even know you were playing." It kind of got to me after a while to where I was saying, "I never want to hear this again." So we got promotion and booking teams, and everything else just followed. With promotions, the main thing is just getting yourself and your music out there. People can keep up with Harden's musical journey on Facebook, Instagram, and also on his website, casehardentexas.com. Congress designates Interstate 14 across five states with I-14 corridor through San Angelo. From staff reports. Published November 15th. Congressional designation of the Interstate 14 corridor across Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia became a reality Monday with the presidential signing of the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, according to a news release by the Gulf Coast Strategic Highway Coalition. The newly designated I-14 route runs from Midland, Odessa, across central Texas, then to Alexandria, Louisiana, Laurel, Mississippi, Montgomery, Alabama, and Columbus, Georgia, before terminating at Augusta, Georgia. I-14 will be built primarily by incrementally upgrading existing highways in each of the states. We understand that building I-14 will require billions of dollars and many years to complete, but we are on our way, said John Thompson, chairman of the I-14 Gulf Coast Strategic Highway Coalition, which has been building grassroots support for I-14 over the past decade. The I-14 system will improve connectivity between regions, provide freight movement efficiency, link important military facilities and strategic seaports, create a high elevation alternative for coastal sections of I-10 that are prone to flooding, and spur economic development opportunities along the 1,300-mile path, he said. The first sections of the I-14 corridor in Texas was approved by Congress in 2015, and a 25-mile section of freeway from Killeen Fort Hood to I-35 in central Texas became I-14 in 2017. The new bill expands the Texas designation to include San Angelo and Midland-Odessa. It also includes four north-south future interstate spurs that will connect I-14 to Interstate 10 and serve the port of Corpus Christi, the port of Houston, and the ports at Beaumont and Port Arthur. It also adds a north-south spur connecting to the port of Gulfport, Mississippi. The designation includes a future interstate loop at Bryan College Station, designated Interstate 214. Congressman Brian Babin of Woodville, Texas, has been carrying the I-14 legislation since entering Congress in 2015. It was successfully included in a House transportation bill passed earlier this year and became the basis of an amendment to the bipartisan infrastructure bill offered successfully in August by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia. The I-14 designation had the support of all 10 senators and every member of the House along the corridor. The Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia State Departments of Transportation all provided Congress with letters supporting the new interstate corridor. "We must now work to win funding for planning and construction of projects on the corridor, work that must be done with Congress, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Departments of Transportation in each of the states," Thompson said. A significant benefit of providing interstate linkage between a dozen military facilities served by the I-14 corridor is that these connections will add to the military value of each of these installations. Among the facilities that will be better linked by I-14 are Fort Bliss at El Paso, Goodfellow Air Force Base in San Angelo, Fort Hood at Killeen, Fort Polk in Louisiana, Camp Shelby at Hattiesburg, Kessler Air Force Base at Biloxi, Maxwell Air Force Base at Montgomery, Fort Benning at Columbus, Robbins Air Force Base at Macon, Fort Gordon near Augusta, and Fort Stewart near Savannah. In West Texas, the I-14 corridor follows State Highway 158 and U.S. 87 from Midland to San Angelo and Brady, then runs east on U.S. 190 to tie into the existing section of I-14 at Killeen. The corridor then runs east to Bryan College Station and Huntsville before generally following U.S. 190 through East Texas, crossing the Sabine River on Louisiana 8 and near Fort Polk at Leesville, Louisiana. In Louisiana, the corridor generally follows Louisiana 28, connecting Leesville, Alexandria, and Vidalia. In Mississippi, the corridor starts at Natchez and runs east following U.S. 84 to Laurel. It runs concurrently on I-59 to Meridian and then generally follows U.S. 80 to Montgomery, Alabama, Columbus, Georgia, and Fort Benning. From there, it follows existing routes to Warner, Robbins, Macon, Fort Gordon, and Augusta. Spur routes connect to I-10, generally follow U.S. 83, U.S. 69, and U.S. 96 in Texas, and I-59 and U.S. 49 in Mississippi. Family's Recipe to Success. San Angelo Woman Opens Cinnamon Roll Business by Elena Edgen. Three generations, three daughters, as well as local firefighters, have approved one family's cinnamon rolls. Now San Angelo can get a taste just in time for the holidays. Before the idea to open a business came to longtime resident Ashley Jones, she often made her family cinnamon rolls for her family and friends as gifts. When the time came for a career adjustment, the idea of rockin' rolls just popped into her mind. "It really was something that just kind of came to me randomly," Jones said. "I'd make them for family, friends, and gifts, but I never sold them until now." Rockin' Rolls open for business November 13th, taking online orders with two options, traditional cinnamon and toasty pecan rolls. The rolls are made in Jones's home kitchen and can be ready for November 24th and November 25th in time for Thanksgiving breakfast. People usually plan Thanksgiving lunch and dinner, but they should plan breakfast too, Joan said. I'm excited to make some cinnamon rolls for everyone and feel blessed that this has become so popular. Jones, a Central High graduate, is married to a firefighter and has three daughters, ages 4, 2, and 9 months. The rolls have been a staple for her family going back three generations. Every morning my daughters ask if we can have more cinnamon rolls, she said. My family makes cinnamon rolls and homemade bread, and you can't go to a family gathering without at least one. Joan said her husband's fire station also taste tests her cinnamon rolls, and they devour whatever she puts in front of them. All of their reviews so far, she said, have been positive. Joan said traditional rolls are $15 for 6 or $25 for 12. Specialty rolls are $20 for 6 and $35 for 12. The rolls are made from scratch with no preservatives. As for the business's future, Jones hopes to make more flavors, including pumpkin, bourbon bacon, and cherry rolls. People can order from and follow Rock and Rolls on Instagram and Facebook. Payment must be made when the order is placed through Venmo or PayPal. Deliveries can be made, depending on location and timing, for $5 extra. If delivery isn't possible, a location and time will be discussed for pickup or delivery. Monarch butterfly journey and life cycle, nothing short of miraculous, by Michael Price, special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published November 14th. For a naturalist, living in Texas definitely has its share of fringe benefits. The diversity of the flora and fauna that can be observed here is nothing short of amazing. One of the amazing feats of nature Texans are privy to are the round-trip travels of a small insect. Of course, one does not have to be a naturalist to be impressed with the epic journey that the monarch butterfly makes every year, as well as the beauty that this species possesses. The monarch butterfly's natural range is rather mushroom-shaped in appearance. It frequents the small Mexican states of Michoacán and Mexico during the winter months, while it occupies a large east-west ranging portion of the northern United States and southern Canada during the summer months. It is during its travels to these haunts that it passes through the corridor of West Texas. The monarch will typically make its appearance here first in mid-April to early May, as it heads north to its summer breeding home, and then appear here again in late September to early November. October is the prime time, as the youngsters travel back to the warmer climate of their winter home. Many people are under the impression that the monarch is the only species of butterfly that migrates. However, there is another species of butterfly that also makes its long airborne journey that usually makes its appearance in tremendous numbers a month or so before the monarch does, and that species is the American snout. This species is considerably smaller and less colorful than the monarch, but nonetheless, it is often mistakenly referred to as baby monarchs. The monarch butterfly is one of the most distinctive and colorful butterflies that occur in West Texas. The upper wings are dark orange in coloration and are bordered in black. There are numerous small white spots randomly situated inside this black border, as well as along the rear edges of the orange-colored wings. There are also several orange spots close to the tips of the forewings, and the veins and margins are deep black. The head and thorax are black, and the head is littered with small white spots, while the thorax is solid black. The abdomen has several pairs of white lines that traverse either side of this body part. As this butterfly lands, the wings are clasped together to reveal the underwings, which are yellow-orange in coloration, rather than being dark orange like the upper wings. The underwings also have larger white spots than the ones that appear on the upper wings. How to tell the difference between a male and female monarch butterfly? This species is also sexually dimorphic, which means that the males and females have differences in coloration. Males have a black patch of scales along the hind wings that are responsible for the release of female attracting pheromones, and the black lines on the veins are much narrower than those that appear on the female. Males are also the larger sex, with adults achieving a total wingspan of approximately 4 inches, while the mature females only attain a wingspan of about 3.5 inches. This type of butterfly is an almost plant-specific feeder, feeding on the flowers and most milkweed species. It utilizes an appendage known as a proboscis to feed on these items. The proboscis is long and almost thread-like, and in times of non-use is curled up under the head of the butterfly. The monarch life cycle happens in 4 stages. The monarch, like other butterfly species, undergoes a 4-stage life cycle that can be described as nothing short of miraculous. In the beginning stage, their life begins as an egg, which hatches after a few short days into the next stage. Upon hatching, the larvae are known as caterpillars, and at this stage, the growth rate is highly accelerated. Caterpillars can eat twice their body weight in a single day, and as such, grow quickly. As they grow, they literally grow out of their skins, and they shed their outer layer of skin up to 5 times, known as molting, before they enter the next stage of their life cycle. Caterpillars of the monarch are quite colorful, as they are banded with black, white, and yellow rings and attain a length of about 2 inches. After the caterpillar finds a spot in which it feels is secure, it will pupate as it forms a protective shell about it, known as a chrysalis. The chrysalis version of the monarch is the pale blue-green with small golden spots. Inside of the shell, the larvae changes into the butterfly that it will soon become. After about a week, the adult will emerge from the shell with its wings intact, although they are crumpled into small balls on the sides of the body. The butterfly will then pump a clear fluid into the veins of their wings, causing them to expand, much the same way a stick can reinforce a kite. Upon reaching maturity, the monarch will immediately begin searching for food, water, and a mate. After mating, the males will continue their search for other receptive females, while the females will begin to look for a site suitable to lay eggs so a brand new life cycle can begin. Like its close relative, the queen, the monarch is a poisonous species of butterfly, said to be quite bitter and distasteful. As such, the viceroy, another species of butterfly, has adapted to look like or mimic the monarch. And now here is our column this week by Allison Watkins. Planting native milkweed, a simple way to protect butterflies. It has been enjoyable to see all the monarch butterflies that migrated through the Concho Valley on their way to Mexico for the winter. It's very inspiring and impressive to see insects that made it all the way down from northern states and even Canada. Monarchs have been at risk of population decline for years, and thanks to efforts to encourage the planting of milkweed, they have seen some recent gains, but it's still important to encourage monarch populations. Milkweed is crucial for monarch butterflies because it's the only host plant for the caterpillars. It's the only plant they will feed on. Planting milkweed in landscapes and pasture land is a simple way to help protect monarchs from declining further. The adult butterflies will feed on nectar from various flowers, so plant perennials that have long blooming periods like lantana, salvia, and Turk's cap. There are many different species of milkweed, many of which are native to Texas, but one non-native variety, Asclepias caravaceae, is common in the nursery industry and is not the ideal choice for Texas landscapes. Also called tropical milkweed, this variety makes a satisfactory food source for the butterflies, but the issue comes from the fact that it blooms year-round. According to Mike Merchant, retired Texas A&M entomologist, tropical milkweed encourages monarchs to stay in one spot and form sedentary, non-migratory populations. This can increase disease rates and mortality in monarch populations. So it's recommended to stick with native milkweed species, but tropical can be used if it's cut back in the fall and kept cut back through the winter if it reemerges. Most gardeners' enjoyment of the outdoors goes beyond plants. Many like to support pollinators like bees and butterflies, and also like to attract desirable birds like hummingbirds and songbirds. Birds need food, water, shelter, and places to rest. Provide these and develop a habitat that will attract the enjoyable types. Shelter is provided through plants of various sizes, shapes, and textures that birds can escape into away from predators. Diversity is good. A mixed planting of evergreen and deciduous trees and shrubs. Provide food with fruit and nut producing plants like possum haw holly, Texas persimmon, redbud, and evergreen sumac. Put out a bird bath and put up a bird feeder with seed, especially when no other food sources are available in the middle of winter, and see what new birds find their way into your yard. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.